Welcome to another week of Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Lauren Fox.
And Andrew Hansen.
And, well, usually we go through and we monologue sometimes for as many as 60 minutes. Or I guess that's a dialogue. But today we are chock full of guests. This is like the show of champions because we're going to have Ryan Toscano, who is with us right now. We're going to have Dave Schmidt, who's the coach of the 10U Bulldog team that is going to Nationals in December. And we'll have Ryan Slijewski of the soccer team. So, nice way to kick it in Thanksgiving week. Ryan, welcome to the program.
Guys, how are you doing tonight? Thank you for having me. It's pretty great to be on the show.
Hey, thank you for joining us. So, great win for you guys last week. State title. That's a big deal, and a lot of people around town are talking about it. For you as a senior playing in your final game with a perfect season on the line, what thoughts were going through your mind on the field?
I definitely have to say it was one of the weirdest feelings I've ever had, because I remember when I was a kid, my dad always used to say that playing in your final game, whatever sport it is, lacrosse, basketball, football, whatever sport that you love the most, it's always going to be a really weird feeling going out on my last game, knowing that this is your last time, and all those years spending time with your teammates and your brothers, no matter what happens, win or lose, it's going to be your last game. So definitely didn't really believe him all those years. He's like, oh, it's so far away. But just being on that night and having that last game actually come and realizing that, well, this is the last time to be on the field with my teammates that I've had for over 10 or 12 years, it was very, very weird. Because Larnstad win, you win the state championship, it's a great feeling. But in the bottom of your heart, you know that it's your last game with those kids. So it was definitely much better to win than lose, to have that sort of happiness at the end. But It was definitely a very weird feeling, like I said, and just coming out on top with an undefeated season. What we strive for at the end of the year, we were very happy to meet that goal at the end. So,
yeah, you and your teammates sure made the most of it, winning 28-14 over Pinkerton to finish off that perfect season, 12-0. And individually, you've been a standout all season on both sides of the ball, and that was surely on full display in the state championship game. So let's start on defense, where you made arguably the biggest play of the first half, where you intercepted that pass at the goal line to protect the 7-0 lead for the Bulldogs. Walk us through that play.
Thank you. And so what was weird about that drive was I think two plays before that interception, they ran an off tackle to number 39 on Pinkerton. It was a big play. It was kind of their first big play of the game, and our first big letdown on defense. And then it was first and, I think they ran around the 15-yard line, maybe. They ran a seam flat route, and it was cover zero, which means that everyone in the secondary has man-to-man. And what was funny is that I was the only one on the defense that thought it was zone coverage. So if you go back and watch the film, number 39, it was a flat route. He dropped like a wide-open flat route pass that actually could have scored, maybe at 7-7, and that was actually my guy. And I was getting yelled at by the coaches because I was the only one on the team that thought it was zone, so that was actually my guy that I was supposed to have. So like a good team like that Pinkerton is, they came out and ran the same play right after that to see if we could mess up on it again. And so luckily I was in the right position that time, having a feeling that it was coming again, just made a great play on the ball. And I had my linebackers in front of me that made the ball go high, so I was able to make a play on it. So that was very fortunate and great stop for our defense overall.
Yeah, that was huge, because then you guys turned around and went down and scored to make it 14-0. But that's interesting. Who calls the plays on defense for you guys?
Yeah, so it's our D coordinator, Coach Sean Donahue, and he's in the booth. So he radios down with the headset to our defensive signal caller, Coach Murby, and he signals the calls in. So I should have definitely been looking at him or just communicating with my guys if I wasn't sure, because obviously if they had caught that pass, that would have been a good score for them, and that would have made the game 7-7 and probably could have changed the whole momentum of the game. So,
yeah, that was a big drop, but you made a huge play on the next play. So that was the defensive play of the half, and then offensively, you were a man on a mission all night running the ball. Each quarter, you had at least 37 yards, and you finished with 185 on 26 carries, which averages out to 7.1 yards per carry. How are you able to gain such big yardage so consistently all night.
Mm-hmm. So one of the biggest things that we saw in practice was they ran a, like a 3-3 defense, meaning that they had three down linemen. And obviously they're looking very heavily to defend the pass here, because we are a spread team and we have the best quarterback in the state, Thomas Morgan. So they're obviously looking to defend him well all night. So when they had those three down linemen, we had the best O-line in the state. Our five guys get great push off the ball. We were just able to get great push on the D-line, just find those holes to run through. And I got asked this question a few times after the game, and they're like, how did you do so well running the ball? You had a great night. And I'm like, well, half the runs that I had, I didn't even get hit until like 8 or 9 yards downfield. And I mean,
makes your job way easier, right?
Yeah. And the line did a great job blocking the D line. We had great blocks on the linebackers, also from our receivers. So I got to give credit to our coaches for that one and our line, and Thomas for being a threat all year to give me those open holes. So
yeah, that was really impressive. And the thing was, you didn't have any short runs. Your long run of the night was only 14 yards personally. So it was 6, 7, 8, 10 yards every time you touched the ball. It was really impressive.
Thank you.
Harry Leguillon also had a huge night running the ball because he came in to the backfield and ran for two touchdowns out of the Wildcat formation, which was a new look.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like in practices leading up to the game when you worked on that wrinkle with the coaching staff? Was everyone thinking it would be as successful as it turned out to be?
Mm-hmm. So going back to most of the season, if we watch ourselves on like the 1 or 2 yard line on the goal line, what we're about to score, our go-to play would always be like a QB lead with Thomas Morgan, and I'd be the lead blocker to the right or left side. And I mean, as the season started to go on, I mean, as we started to play a little bit better teams, we obviously realized that we have one of the best QBs in the state, and if he ever got injured, run the ball like that. I mean, obviously we suffered the injury of Connor Robert last year that kind of gave us a big step back. We couldn't really afford that with Thomas. So, I mean, obviously we have a great runner, Harry. I mean, I've been playing with him since, I think, third grade. We've been on the same team every year since third grade. I've never really seen him get stopped in a short yardage situation. So, obviously me and the coaches had a lot of confidence in him going into that game, and just him being able to power through guys in that short yard situation to save Thomas some hits like that was very successful. And we were definitely very confident in him to get in the end zone like he did. So
it's I know it's something that's a point of pride for you guys, having been together for such a long time. So for you, Ryan Toscano, senior captain of the Bedford High football team, what memories will you carry forward of these guys? Because these are guys, and I think about the guys that I played with when I was a kid, and even the guys that I have won championships in the old man basketball and softball leagues with. You know, it's different when you see those guys than guys that were just teammates. Like, these are people, and I use, somebody's going to get all over me, I use the term guys, but of course your team had guys as well as a female kicker. What memories will you carry forward from this season with that group?
I think one of the biggest things that I look at when I look at the season as a whole is a lot of these guys, it's basically a lot of the same guys that I've played for over like the last 10 years. So just being able to be with those guys for almost 10 years and having to ride through all the wins and some losses with those guys is very cool. Just being able to be with those same guys. And I remember freshman year, we were all on the freshman team, and we went, I think, 10-0 and won the state championship. And we all came together after that year, and like, and we were like, when it's our senior year and when this is our team, we're going to go 12-0 and win that state championship. And so that was very, very cool to see that mindset actually turn out the way that it did. Just being able to come out on top of Pinkerton and just being able to say that we accomplished all those goals successfully, and being able to say that we set out and accomplished what we set out to accomplish was very, very awesome to do. So, I mean, I think that's the biggest memory I'll have, having these guys being so close to me for so long, just being able to set out and do all those goals that we set out to do was just very, very special.
It, I'm sure it is. Now, for you, were there any points, if you go down the schedule and look at the game results, you look at a lot of games that were lopsided in one way or another. The playoffs were kind of the same way. I mean, they sort of went according to, I think, what Hansen and I would have prognosticated. Were there any points in time where you felt like you needed to right the ship and somehow, okay, this thing's kind of going off course and we got to get this back in the right direction again?
I would say that I think the ball was in our core most of the game. And I think, but two of the scariest, or not scariest, but almost like very exciting and not the best way that the game was going was when we fumbled twice on our own. I think the first one was our own 9-yard line off the opening kick return in the second half, and the second one was on a first down deep pass on the left side. One of the D line for Bingham made a great play and stripped Thomas. Those were two very unfortunate plays of the game because obviously all year we hadn't really been in that situation. So it was great to see the adversity and how we were kind of responded to that adversity of being on our own 10. And obviously, I think that time we're only up 14-0 at halftime. And I think the first score made it 14-7. And just being in that 7-point game, like a kind of game we hadn't really been in all year, was great to see how our guys responded. We went down and scored again. The second fumble happened. Then we responded to that. They got in. We went down and scored again. So just our response to those two big plays from Pinkerton, and they capitalized off of that. I think we were all very proud of that, how it responded. So,
was there anything you remember on the sidelines after those two turnovers? Was it anything that any of the players said or the coaches said to try and keep you guys focused and try and regain the momentum?
Mm-hmm. So one of the biggest things that we have gone by all year with our defensive coaching staff mostly was the mentality of bend and don't break. So, I mean, obviously we kind of broke twice on those two touchdowns, but we mostly bend. We didn't let the other team break us. We didn't let the game break on ourselves. We kept going, kept pushing forward, and we obviously scored those two drives right after those Pinkerton touchdowns. So that was very great, I thought, being able to respond to those two touchdowns, just living by that mentality of bend and don't break.
Now for Ryan Toscano, coming off a 12-0 season, conversations about what's next. You're graduating. What are your plans as far as playing at the next level?
Yeah, so the application process has obviously been very stressful. I'm sure for a lot of kids too, this is a very busy time of year for apps. I know at the first common early decision round just went out, and you know, I've been taking a lot of options. I have a few opportunities to play at the next level, and for me, it's just going to be whatever opportunity works out best. My family and I have to weigh a lot of options, but I'm one of the things that I'm very, very, very fortunate about is being able to play or have a chance to play the next 4 years at a college, be able to continue my career there. So I'm definitely very, very thankful for that, and it's going to be a very stressful next few months, but I feel like in the end, it's all going to work out for the better.
In some ways, this is going to feel stressful to you, but one of the hardest things, and I'm sure your dad tells you the same, you got to sit back and enjoy it a little bit while it's happening, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly. I mean, he tells me all the time that it's only going to happen once. And,
yep.
Like I said, for my last senior football game, it's only going to happen once, and you don't really realize until you're actually there. So
it's sage advice. So for Ryan Toscano, lacrosse obviously is a sport that you love as well. That comes up in the spring. We know that's important to you, and we'll catch up with you during lacrosse season. But what occupies your time throughout the winter?
I'd say mostly this year what's going to be a lot of fun is my friends and I, we play in a rec basketball league. That definitely keeps me in shape, and obviously not playing high school basketball this year to lift and train most of the year. That'll be a lot of fun to keep me busy. Play with my friends that played some football when they were over the years. So, and obviously with that rec basketball. I'll be playing some indoor lacrosse with my team this spring. Keep the stick in my hand to get ready for the spring season. And then, well, lastly, probably just weightlifting and weight training. Keep my conditioning up. Keep my weightlifting and weight training up. So this is definitely going to be a very busy winter, but I mean, I think it'll all work out in the end. We'll have a lot of fun.
Sounds like you have a lot on your plate. As always, going to be a lot of fun for you, I'm sure. And be sure to enjoy it. Enjoy the long weekend. Ryan Toscano, as always, congratulations, and thank you for joining us this morning.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. That was a lot of fun.
Anytime. Always a great interview. That was Ryan Toscano, the senior captain of the state champion Bedford High football team. And we'll take a quick break. Come right back. This is Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Welcome back to Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. This apparently is the football segment of the show.
It's football day, yeah.
It's football.
Thanksgiving weekend here. It's one of the best times, really, for football. It just feels right. There's a little snow on the ground. Bedford just won the state championship.
Yep. And so the other thing, we're going to be at a record high low. Like, what is the matter with me? We're going to be at a record low temperature Thursday.
That's right.
Which, by the time you hear this show, that will have already happened. You don't play football on Thanksgiving, do you?
Well, growing up, we sure did.
Okay, but now?
Well, the kids are growing up. We may throw the football around a little bit.
So, yeah, we used to always get everybody together. Where I grew up in California, we would get together and play football.
In your shorts and t-shirts?
Yeah, absolutely.
Jeez.
Periodically, people would get concussed, which was always an enjoyable thing. And interestingly enough, 538 tells you that 1,000 people in America every year wind up in the emergency room playing football on Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, my gosh.
In 2014, about 550 Americans, 25 and older, went to the ER with injuries sustained playing football, and that was a down year. Well, but, I mean, we've had guys get concussed. We've had guys break things. Oddly enough, you know my track record for getting injured, which is not good.
High to very
it's
high.
Bad, strong to quite strong. I think my days of playing.
Was that wood that you
knocked
on?
Yeah, that was wood that I knocked on.
Didn't really sound like it.
Yeah. Metally wood. I think my days of playing football on Thanksgiving are over. I would not play football on Thanksgiving in 18 degree temps.
You've got a basketball season to think about.
I do. But the odd thing is, within my circle of people, I know two people who have torn their Achilles on Thanksgiving Day.
Playing football.
So it's not out of the question. Speaking of Thanksgiving, and by now everybody's eating leftovers, what's your favorite side?
Ooh, good question. Pumpkin bread is up there.
Pumpkin bread?
Pumpkin bread and stuffing would be my two.
Okay. Stuffing from the bird or like separately cooked stuffing?
Separately cooked stuffing.
Okay. I'm most certainly a stuffing guy, but I mean, I guess full disclosure, I've never met a side that I didn't like. Like, I will just gas everything.
Right.
Like, I could go home. I have a bag of cranberries sitting in my fridge. I could go home right now and make a batch of cranberry sauce, and right now it's not even noon, it would be gone by 1:30. Like, yeah. And then I would just ball up in a corner in the fetal position and wish that I hadn't done it. But so then, yes, there's also, you really, I don't know. I love the 4th of July because you get warmth and barbecues and fireworks and you're together with friends. Like, there's so much good about the 4th of July, but as a holiday, it's hard to argue with Thanksgiving. Because theoretically, you have some people have Wednesday off. So you have Wednesday off, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Somehow our economy managed to weave shopping and discounts into this. So you buy things that you don't need in our consumerist economy. Then you throw food in there. Then you throw the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving in there where everybody makes bad life choices. which, I mean,
together.
You're doing it together. But that's become like its own holiday, is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Then you have Thanksgiving Day, where really nobody expects you to actually do anything, except like if you're cooking, that's like a nice leisurely recreational activity, because it's not like, oh my God, I have to get the kids from A to B and get food on the table. And like, this is like once an hour, you cruise up to the oven, pull the turkey out, baste it, put the turkey back in the oven. All right, I'm good. Like, it has just a nice pace to it. There's football on. You eat something that makes you fall asleep in front of the TV.
It's perfect.
Like,
I mean, growing up, it was actually always my favorite holiday.
It nudged, for the win.
It would nudge out Christmas just
it's
by
better
hair.
Than Christmas.
The thing was,
particularly for me, but yes.
It was the family. It was the family gathering. We would get together with our cousins and play the family football outside in the yard, and there's just nothing like doing that and then coming back in for the turkey, watching football, maybe going back out again in the afternoon.
Yep.
And then you come back in and there's pie and more football. It's just it's paradise.
I mean, really, yeah. It really is a good holiday. So I hope everybody had, because this is Wednesday, but you're going to hear this on Saturday, had a great Thanksgiving, and a lot to be thankful for around here, by all means. I am thankful for the fact that the quarterback that I picked in my fantasy league is Pat Mahomes.
Oh, boy.
Who is mopping the floor with everybody this year.
What an epic game that was.
Boom. That was an epic game. I did go to bed, in full disclosure. I just had to. My days of World Series up until 2:30 in the morning and then back at it at 5:30 are done. But I saw enough that if... And I know there's defense with championships, what have you. If this is where the NFL is going, that's a great move on their part. And I can't think of another time that you have had such a high-powered in-season matchup that everybody was talking about in ages.
And it
I mean, back to like Rams-Niners from the early 90s.
And it lived up to the hype.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what's amazing about it.
Oh, yeah. How often does that? That never happens.
It was 54-51. First time in the NFL that two teams have scored over 50 in the same game.
It is also the first time in the NFL, I guess these two stats go hand in hand, the teams that scored 50 points in an NFL game prior to that were, I think, like 216 or 219-0. Of course, if both teams score, one team will lose.
And that's what happened to the Chiefs.
That's what happened.
They put up 51 and lost. Their quarterback, your fantasy quarterback, Pat
yep.
Mahomes, 478 yards passing, 6 touchdowns, but he also had 3 picks and 2 fumbles.
Yep.
On the flip side, Goff for...
Without the L.
For the Fighting McVays. Without the L. Goff.
A good Caddyshack reference in case you missed it.
He just had 413 yards with 4 touchdowns and no picks.
Yep.
And that was the key. He led that game-winning drive with the long pass to Everett. Everett tiptoes down the sidelines, and then Casey comes back with one more chance, but Mahomes throws a desperation pass that gets picked, and the Rams secure that nail-biter, 54-51 at home.
51. And really, you could have said they gave Mahomes 30 seconds at the end. What did they give him, 25 seconds, and he threw that pick? And you go, oh, my God, they gave him too much time. And he has a timeout. Like, that's how skewed your perspective is on the game. But... So, more importantly to us is fantasy football.
Right.
Because there's pride and money riding on it. The Harpoon softball squad has, 12 teams in our fantasy league, which is good. I mean, it means that you can't really grab somebody phenomenal off the waiver wire. In case you happen to be in a matchup against your co-host.
Yeah,
and
seriously.
Your starting quarterback, Pat Mahomes, is out because of a bye, as your kicker, Greg Zuerlein, also out. So I put in a waiver claim on – everybody cares about this because nothing is more boring than somebody talking to you about their fantasy football team. Perhaps that, or they're telling you about their workout this morning is also about that bad.
No, I think this is a little bit different because everybody can – you know, they can relate to what you're going through
here. You can relate.
And they can relate to what I'm going to say after you explain what you did.
No Mahomes, no Greg Zuerlein. I took Nick Mullins from the Niners. I tried to claim Adam Vinatieri. Somebody beat me to that. So I think I have Robbie Gould, who's in his 76th season in the NFL. He broke in the same year as George Blanda and played with Daryl Grandy Sr. back in college.
He's been kicking field goals ever since.
Yes.
But that's right. You put your claim in for Nick Mullins on the waiver wire, and you and I are playing against each other this week, and I have Jared Goff, so he's on bye. And guess who I put in a waiver claim for? This same Nick Mullins.
How did I get him?
Because you were fourth in priority for waiver. I was sixth.
How is that even? I'm in first place in the league, see? This. All right. So because I know our listeners care about fantasy football so much, we're going to stop talking about that now.
But we're going to keep talking football.
We are going to. Well, we're going to keep talking football, but we're going to take a break, which Harry loves because now he gets to stitch together a bunch of segments instead of just one, like, Kramer and Jerry driving the car until it runs out of gas. We are stitching together multiple segments today. Sorry, Harry. And we'll take a quick break. Come right back. You are listening to Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Welcome back to Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Lauren Fox, Andrew Hansen, and we are joined by a special guest this week coming off a state championship. And no, it's not Ryan Toscano, who we just had on. This is Dave Schmidt, who's coaching the 10U Bedford Bulldog football team. It's the show of champions this week. Yeah. So, Dave, welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot for having me.
Hey, anytime. Thank you for making time for us. So last year, the team won state. I know from kind of talking through with some people involved with the program, you guys did some things on offense that weren't typical for a younger team, a little bit more complicated, or what people perceived as more complicated. Can you shed a little bit of light on what you put into place for last year's team?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So last year, the 9U team, we were 33 players, right? We combined the Jaguars and the Bulldogs programs together, and we had a great team that wound up going 10-0, and as you stated, we won the state championship. And on an offensive side of the ball, it was interesting because we ran a double wing, and we had a lot of really complicated blocking assignments, including pulling guards and tackles. And, you know, for 9-year-olds, it was one of those types of schemes that I really had questions on whether we'd be able to do it, but the kids did a great job, got better as the season went on, and we also then added a lot of misdirection plays. We had two counts, and we even introduced last year the beginning of a spread offense. So it was great to see, and a lot of times other coaches from other teams last year would come up to me and say, are you sure these kids are only 9? So some really good football and kids that really got better as the season went on, which was great to see as a coach.
Right. That's really all you can hope for, is that the players improve and want to continue to come back every year. And for you heading into the season as the coach of the 10U Bulldogs, what was your outlook for the team moving up an age group?
Yeah. So we had and continue to have very high expectations, right? So last year as a 9U team, we won the state championship, and that was the end of the run because of the age group and the way AYF works it. So going into this year, we knew with a 10U team that we'd have the ability to advance beyond state. So we were very, very positive and excited about the prospect of advancing past state. We did lose a few players, but we added 4 more back. So we wind up with a roster size of 26 kids. And from top to bottom, this team can play, right? So we added 2 outstanding new coaches as well with a ton of football experience. So I really felt like the sky's the limit, and I feel that way right now as we prepare to head to Florida. So, we're doing more with the playbook on offense and defense and special teams than we've ever done, and we're going to be adding new wrinkles as we head down to Florida. So a lot of fun, and, you know, again, sky's the limit for the 10U Bulldogs.
Coach, I'm always curious about the X's and O's, and you've got me wondering now with your reference to the playbook and the double wing and then the spread offense. How did the offense turn out this year in terms of the distribution between run and pass?
Yeah, so we're based primarily on run, and generally what we do is we run a smash mouth type of football, but then we get tricky. And as soon as you think you can predict what we're going to do, we change it up. So I have a fantastic offensive coordinator who I've worked with for years, and we've developed this, tinkered with it, and continue to do so. So from a defensive perspective, it's tough to plan against, you know, because when you look at film or anything from us, you see one thing, and then all of a sudden the play changes right on the spot. So we did more passing, and we're going to continue to do more of that in Florida and then prepping for next year. So this playbook has gone now through three or four iterations, and we continue to build it.
It's a lot to think about. I think it's mind-blowing for some of us, even a little bit older, slightly more mature than 10-year-olds to grasp it. But the fact that these kids are able to do it is nothing short of impressive. We're with Dave Schmidt, the coach of the 10U Bedford Bulldogs, state champions, and heading down to nationals within the next couple weeks. You squeaked out a win in the state title game that got you down to regionals. Was that one tougher than you were expecting?
You know what? The team we played, the Manchester South Sabres, that's a team we have history with. So last year was 9U. We played them in the regular season and in the state championship, and we wound up winning both games, right? So we beat Manchester South. And going into this year, we didn't have Manchester South on our schedule, but in the back of my mind or in the front of my mind, all throughout my mind, I knew we were going to play them at some point. I even talked to the head coach about that. So when I saw that the state finals for New Hampshire were November 3rd, you know, I had that date circled on my calendar, and we even had a phrase that we called it 11-3 is destined to be, and we knew both coaches on my team and coaches on the Manchester South team that we'd meet again. And we had, as advertised, a fantastic game. A lot happened in terms of we were prepping to play in one location at a certain time. Everything changed literally right before that kickoff, and we had to adjust. And the teams arrived up in Laconia, played a fantastic game, and it was a 19-18 finish, and we pulled it out again. So hats off to South, because they continue to make us a better team, because we're always prepping to handle them, and they've got fantastic coaches and players over there.
It's nothing short of impressive to come through to achieve a goal. We talked about the same thing with Ryan Toscano a little bit ago. You got through state, which was a big goal, but then you have to kind of get everybody still up after you've achieved the goal. All right, you're in regionals. You played the Worcester Vikings, had your way with them. Who were some of your notable stars in that one?
Yeah, so I'll go back a little bit, and so after stage, right, so we win that, and that means we represent New Hampshire in the regionals. What's more impressive, I think, and really for me so far, the highlight of the season was the game before we played Worcester. So we went on our first road trip where we stayed overnight, and we had a meeting with the Meriden Raiders, the Connecticut state champs, in Waterbury. This is the week before the Worcester game. And that was the semifinals for the New England Regional Championship. And they were a tough team. They came out really strong and slugged us. We were nothing, right? First time we've ever been down this season, and only the second time we've ever been behind in 2 years. So I had a question. I didn't know, how are we going to respond to this? So we got the players together at halftime. Additionally, we lost four key players, starters, to injury. They were gone. They were done. So major chance to see what our team was made of. So in the huddle, you know, my coaches and I, we laid out a game plan of what we were going to do in the second half. And what was really neat was the game that was following ours was the 11U Manchester East Cobras, right? And they are the national champions from last year. Their coaches and their players came over into our huddle, talked to our kids, told them what it takes to win these big games at this level, and really reinforced everything we said as coaches as well. But it just showed New Hampshire coming together in a great way. And our team went out, fired up, and we literally executed everything that I had laid out of what we were going to do. And we wound up winning that game 20-13 in a double overtime. So unbelievable effort. And that's what got us to play the Worcester Vikings. You know, I always knew this team had talent, but what I learned in the game with Meriden was that we had a lot of grit. So it's a special group of people that we have, both in terms of coaches and players on this team. And, you know, we get to Worcester, we develop an unbelievable game plan. I mean, we had it ironed out. We knew everything that they were going to be doing, and we had a plan for it, and our kids came to play. So when you ask notable players, what I would say is really we have a philosophy as a team that we are 26 strong, and what we use is a 26-link stainless steel chain that's a symbol of our team, and it's been the symbol all season. And, you know, you ask why is that, but a few reasons. So that steel symbolizes our strength and toughness, and it's stainless because we always want to execute without flaws, and obviously it's a chain, so we're linked together. So everyone helps us win. So I would say that effort in Worcester and the efforts all season have been a complete team effort. So even though there's certain kids scoring touchdowns, when we watch the film, we see the blocking and the teamwork and the things that are happening on those plays and what happens in practice that gets us all to where we want to be. So I'm just really, really proud of everybody, top to bottom on this team.
Well, we can certainly hear the pride in your voice. Dave Schmidt, the coach of the Bedford 10U Bulldogs, New Hampshire state champions, regional champions, now heading down to Florida, which it's tough preparing to get there because, of course, there's practices and there's fundraising and there's so many different levels to get the entire team as well as families down there. But then once you get there, you have a full slate of games and a tight window. So I guess two questions. First of all, if you have any fundraising activities, go, by all means, share them on air, and hopefully our listeners can help out. And then the other thing is, how do you prepare for the number of games that you're going to have in that really tight window?
Yeah, no, great question. So I'll start with the second question first. So we are, I guess it's either a blessing or a curse, but I'm a major type A personality and very organized. So we are, and I am digging into putting everything together, right? And, you know, certainly our team's organizational skills are being put to the test. We're going to go down to Florida, believe it or not, guys, on November 30th. The next day is a coaches meeting that I attend that Saturday, and that's when I get the schedule. That's when I know what bracket we're in and who we're playing. So what we're doing right now, believe it or not, is there's seven other teams going down there, right? So we are one of eight. So in a worst-case scenario, the 10U Bulldogs are the eighth best team in the country right now, which is really, really amazing, right? And we win some games, we're going to continue to move up. But we're trying to prep for seven different teams, not knowing who we're going to face. And we could, on Saturday, when we head down there, find out we're playing the next day against a team from Texas or a team from Michigan or a team from Florida. So we're going to need to be flexible, but I think we're going to stick to what's gotten us here. And that's really good, solid defense. That's been the anchor of what we've done. So we've talked a lot about the offense, but it's really been the defense that keeps us close and you know, winning in every game. But I'm certain down in Florida, when we start to play some really elite class teams, that our defense is going to be what keeps us in these games and gives us a shot to win. So that's the plan there. A lot of moving pieces. From a fundraising effort, we're going to be putting a lot out on Facebook here in a short period of time. For us, this is a first-time effort, right? We're learning as we go and building it as we go, but we are doing a bunch of different efforts, and one of them that you'll be hearing about is where in Bedford is the regional trophy, right? So we're looking for folks that will offer to donate some money that we will advertise, and they can hold on to the regional trophy for a day or two until someone else goes. So we'll move the trophy all around Bedford, ideally, and we'll have some other efforts too. So I'll get that information out via Facebook. I'd also like to give a shout out to our cheer team. So we have our 14U and our adaptive cheer teams that are going to be joining us down in Florida. So it really is something amazing, guys, because you start to think about the size of Bedford, right? And the fact that we can bring two cheer teams down, a football team down there, and we're competing against some areas that have a much larger population and a lot more people. And, you know, we're all looking to go down there and have a great experience. But at the end of the day, we just want to make the town proud, and that's going to be our objective, and I'm certain we'll achieve it.
It sounds like with the commitment that you and your coaching staff have made, as well as all the parents have made, I have no doubt. Having fun right now?
You know, it's a lot of fun. Again, you know, as I mentioned, I like to have things buttoned up and organized, but it's kind of fun to be building this as we go. But the players are really, you know, it's when you put the effort in that these kids have put in. They've made a lot of sacrifices. We've been doing this since July 30th, starting out in the summer, doing 4 days a week, 2.5 hour practices. They missed a lot of their summer. They've missed a lot of their fall. They've played in hot weather, cold weather, and their parents have been driving them all over the place, supporting them. And it's just great for all of us because we feel like, you know, we've done something here that's pretty neat. But one of our other mottos is, you know, we're not done yet. So the plan is we're going to keep working and we're going to have fun and enjoy it because this could be and might be a once in a lifetime experience. So, you know, we're creating memories as we go and enjoying the ride.
That's the name of the game right there. Well, Dave Schmidt, best of luck down in Florida. Send us the information. We'll throw it up on our page as well, and certainly we'll let our listeners know. And thank you for the time. Thank you for making time for us.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Go Bulldogs.
Go Bulldogs.
Go get them, Coach. Good luck.
See ya. Thanks.
That was Dave Schmidt, the coach of the Bedford 10U Bulldogs, the state champions, regional champions, and we'll take a quick break. Come right back. Listening to Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Welcome back to Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Lauren Fox, Andrew Hansen. I feel like this is like Champions Week on Jeopardy or something like that.
This is fun.
Yeah, we Ryan Toscano, followed by Dave Schmidt, the coach of the 10U Bedford Bulldogs, followed by the senior captain or one of them from the Bedford High boys soccer team. This would be Ryan Slijewski. Thanks for joining us, Ryan.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. So we saw you guys play against Central in the regular season. I did not see the championship game. Hansen saw the championship game. What was your mindset heading into the championship, knowing how tough Central was in the regular season?
Yeah, they were obviously our toughest matchup of the season. We went down 2 goals early. But I think when we changed our formation to go 3 in the back, it allowed our creative players such as Victor, Zach Barreau, who scored in the championship game, to really get forward. And we thought that going into the game, if we utilized our talent, that we could outmatch them and score more goals than them. And that's what we went through for the playoffs.
So talk about that strategy a little bit more. And because I noticed that, you know, in the regular season game against Central, you were up on the front line for most of the night. But in the state championship game, you were playing from that left back position. So what was the discussion that you had with Coach Pepper to have it be that you would start playing there in the state championship game?
So we actually, in the semifinals versus Concord in the last couple of minutes, lost one of our key defenders, Aiden Kenny, to injury. And so with him being out, we really wanted to be secure in the back because Central had a great front three, the top front threes in the state with Paulo, Josue, and Raul. And we just wanted to stay solid in the back and get the ball up to Victor and Zach where they could really shine.
Well, it really worked. It was a lot of fun to watch the way that you used your speed back there on the defensive line to either dribble up and create something offensively or make long passes ahead. And that's what you did on that second goal. You made a really long pass from the back left part of the field up ahead to the right wing. Tell us about that play.
All right, so I noticed that when the defender got the ball, they always hit long balls over the top and tried to use their pace. So I read that and won the ball back and saw the space in the middle. And when I started dribbling up, there's a lot of defenders closing me down. So I trusted the speed of Zach, who is one of the fastest people in the state, in my opinion, to get in behind and get a chance on goal. And he did just that and got on the end of a long pass.
Yeah, it was really well executed. A beautiful play. And same thing for that third goal, which you set up from a long pass, a set piece from midfield. it really was amazing. The ball just looked like it hung up in the air forever and then dropped down around the six, probably right as just as you would have drawn it up. Tell us about that play.
So we had been practicing that throughout the week, just getting it under the crossbar for the likes of Graham, who's 6'3". And actually, right as I was about to take it, Piper told me to wait because Graham was not in the box. So I guess that kind of goes for him for noticing that. And then I waited and then ended up chipping it, and it went right to his head, who went down to Austin for the goal, which was nice.
Yeah, that was an awesome way to finish there late in regulation. And then just a couple minutes later, you guys were celebrating on the field. What was it like? What was it like on the field to have that celebration?
Oh, it was like nothing that I've ever had before. It was really nice knowing that with all the fans there, all the people from your school showing up to win the state championship, it just felt like something that I haven't felt before.
It's certainly a big accomplishment. We're here with Ryan Slijewski, the senior captain of the Bedford High soccer team. And the amount of emotion that must have gone into that based on some of the prior, I guess, postseason failings, I guess, as it were. Yeah. I mean, I hate to be harsh about it, but you guys had had higher expectations in the past and had come up short. And to this year, kind of be able to grab the brass ring, that's really a big deal.
Yeah, it was. It definitely goes from the senior leadership. We brought in the likes of Quent McDonough and Ryan Bellhumer, and they really helped bring the group together. The sophomores and the seniors were all treated the same way. There wasn't any senior, like, I don't know, superiority. It was everyone was treated the same way. Everyone worked the same. And in the end, off the field, we were all like family. And I think that helped.
Well, I mean, when it comes down to it, it doesn't matter if somebody's a sophomore, a senior, freshman, you name it. If they're going to help you win, they're going to help you win.
Exactly.
That's the name of the game. It's all part of being on a team. So for you, we know you have something big coming up in the next couple of weeks. What does the next couple of weeks hold for you? Shed a little bit of light on the showcase down in Florida. And then after that, what does the rest of the year hold?
Yeah, so in a couple weeks' time, like a week and a half, I'm going down to Florida to play in the East versus West game. It takes the top 20 from each side, each coast. And we play in a game, and it was a real honor to be nominated, let alone selected for it. And I'll hold a great bit of pride, play my heart and soul out into that game, try and do New Hampshire proud.
That's certainly an accomplishment to be named. I mean, top 20 in the on this half of the country. That's there are a lot of players to pick from.
Exactly.
Yeah. He said east side, west side. We're not talking east side, west side, New Hampshire.
Yeah, it's this not the east side and west side of Manchester.
USA. <you know>.
Yeah. That's a big geography to pick from. And then for you for the rest of the year, college decision has been made. Of course, there's always a lot to do. This is your senior year. What will you do to, first of all, make sure that you enjoy it, and then second of all, make sure that you're in top shape to head off to college in the fall?
Well, yeah, I think it's important to find the balance between having fun, if you're senior year having fun, and putting in the work to make sure you're not going in to college below what you want to be. And so for me, it's very important that when I show up to training session, every day I play with GPS New Hampshire, when I show up to training session, I give 100% every time. And even off the field, going to workouts and training by myself, just to make sure that I extra edge and be able to compete right when I get into college is really important.
Yeah, it's certainly something that I think a lot of people don't realize, that it doesn't end for you and it's not going to end for you for a while, but it's a good thing. That's a part of the fun. You're doing what you love, and we appreciate you making some time for us to talk about it. So Ryan Slijewski, senior captain of the Bedford High soccer team, thank you for the time, as always.
Thank you for calling me.
Of course. And we'll let Ryan go and enjoy the rest of his long 4-day weekend. We'll take a quick break, come right back. You're listening to Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. I'm tired. Welcome back to Foxtown Sports on Bedford 105.1. Usually we just talk, I guess, which is tiring in and of itself. Today we've had all the interviews.
We had three interviews.
Bam.
Oftentimes,
strong.
We have one, sometimes none. We do all this preparation for all these in-depth segments.
I know. This is great.
It's like, this has been terrific. Although
it just worked out well.
I feel like I barely have talked to you at all.
I know. Well, that's probably better for you. I don't really have anything interesting to say. We talked about Thanksgiving and side items and whatever. I have in my freezer right now from my friend Alan up in Tilton, who owns an Apple Crisp food truck. I have 2 13-by-9 pans of Apple Crisp. Homemade, like, this stuff is the bomb.
That's a good start to the week.
Very excited. So, Apple Crisp for everybody. Just come find me.
And Birdies as well.
Birdies, yes. Well, no, Alan's bringing Apple Crisp next week. He's giving me even more and beer. So, life really isn't too bad. I'm thankful for that. Birdies, what's the side bet on the first hole? 100 grand? Can you imagine?
Tiger doubled it, 200.
Okay, sure. Like, so what we're talking about, in case you have been living under a rock, is the 2018 version of the Skins game.
Mano a mano.
Mano a mano at Shadow Creek in Vegas, Steve Wynn's golf course. Tiger and Phil going head-to-head with a little golf.
Not Jared
without the L. Those two are playing, what's the pot?
Nine mil.
Because they both need it.
Well, that's not the money that's coming out of their own pockets.
No. Well, somebody much smarter than us came. I really hope this becomes a thing. But it's going to work out well for it. I don't know. To me, it doesn't work out as well if it's like, yeah, Stuart Sink and Davis Love the Third.
Well, it never will
like,
be.
Like, if it were Stuart Sink and Davis Love the Third, like, somebody would be passed out in their gravy.
We actually already had that. We had that a few years ago when Stuart Sink and Tom Watson were battling for the British Open down the stretch. So we already had that mano a mano, and that one wasn't really that exciting.
No. Well, yeah. When you consider the guys who are playing in this thing, though,
this one will
Tiger.
The problem is we're taping this on Wednesday.
Yes.
The pay-per-view event is Friday.
Yes. You are going to hear it, and you will have already decided that you're going to shell out the $19.99 and watch it, and you will have watched it engrossed, and you will have already formulated your thoughts about it, or you will have already been completely saturated with everything about this and be so bored that us talking about it disgusts you.
I think you're thinking about the food again.
No.
There's no way would disgust a golf fan. This is amazing.
This is fun.
This is beautiful. This is going to be so much fun. It's fun to look ahead to it here on Wednesday. And, you know, the hype leading up to it has been a lot of fun. The press conference earlier this week with Phil and Tiger was one to remember.
Right. The hype machine is way cranked up. So did you write a haiku about the press conference?
No. There has to be a competition on the field for a haiku to be written.
Okay. There you go. All right. You always kind of go, okay, what's on the line for these guys? Well, it's winner take all. The guy who loses is still going to, he's making money out of something.
Making money out of something.
Or he gets to play golf.
Yeah. At worst, he's not having to pay to play golf in one of the most memorable matches ever. I mean, these are the two best players of their generation. Tiger's the best match player of all time.
Yeah.
Going against Phil, who, if not for Tiger, would probably be considered the best player of this generation. And they're both 1 and 2 in the best short games.
Yeah.
And incredible competitors. And just, I just got such a kick out of that press conference because Phil is really soaking this up.
Uh-huh.
And
Phil, in the last couple of years, has kind of become a different Phil. Like, maybe he's at peace with himself. He's had his things that he's had to overcome. His wife has had illness. Like, it seems like he has changed. And we've talked about this in the past. Tiger has changed. Like, Tiger is not nearly as steely-eyed and hardcore, snapping clubs. This is a different Tiger now. And so the two of them are at the right spot in their career for this to happen, where it will be fun. And to me, as casual gambler and casual golf fan, I would be most interested in watching this, not to watch them play, because that's kind of secondary. I want to watch the two of them interact with each other, and I also want to see, are they coming up with crazy bets that we might have some fun with playing on the course ourselves?
Yeah, they sure will be, and Phil certainly thought about it, because he came into this press conference talking about the first hole specifically, and he likes the setup, and so he bet Tiger $100,000 that he... Well, he asked Tiger if he's willing to bet $100,000 that Phil would birdie the first hole. And Tiger looks back at him and says, double it. And then Phil plays it off like it was his plan all along to get a bigger bet and saying, you see how I played that? And so it's just a fun dynamic. And you're right. Both of them have changed. Tiger in the biggest way. And it's appropriate that this is happening on Thanksgiving weekend. When you talk about the transformation of Tiger, he is way more thankful than he ever was before about his opportunity, about the game, about everything around him. So it's been fun to see that. And then he and Phil have grown closer in the last few years through the Ryder Cup. And Tiger has shown a little bit more appreciation for that rivalry. And so you just can't wait to see how it plays out over those 18 holes. But you know, I've also heard Phil, he made a guest appearance on TNT at one of the Lakers games talking about a downhill birdie putt and how, you know, he's going to be ready to throw some action on birdie putts with Tiger as well. So it's going to be great.
Right. It's those things are completely appropriate to do.
Well, it's happening in Nevada.
It's happening in Nevada. Well,
so you can bet on sports in Nevada.
But the other thing is, like, sports gambling has become far less of a taboo thing than it once was. I mean, there was a point in time when we couldn't talk about that sort of thing, when ESPN stayed away from it. But now, if you watch Scott Van Pelt, it's a regular segment on his show, Bad Beats, which we're not talking about like gentlemen's bets. Like, these are real situations where somebody has defeat snatched from the jaws of victory.
Well, it's like one state after another now that the Supreme Court has said that every state can legalize gambling, sports gambling, if they want, and states have already done it. You can go and bet on the NFL in New Jersey now. It's not just Nevada. And so you're right. ESPN, all these different outlets talk about it more and more because more and more states have legalized it.
Right. So with that, who do you like in this thing?
I'm going to stick with Tiger. You know, we talked to Ken Hamill about it. He picked Phil back in the summer. But the thing is, it's hard to predict what form they're going to be in. But it sounds like both of them have been training with this in mind. You know, they've talked about how this is usually a downtime for them. So hopefully they'll both be at the top of their game. I wouldn't want to see a 5-4 match here.
No.
I'd like to see this decided on this, you know, 16, 17, 18.
Right.
But I'm going to go with Tiger for my retroactive prediction.
And I would think it's Tiger, too. It is interesting to note when this is taking place. So November 23rd is when it's taking place. It is almost 9 years to the day after Tiger's Cadillac Escalade SUV shenanigans that kind of precipitated a lot of his woes after the fact. So it's almost like he's come really full circle in the last 9 years, which is pretty crazy.
Well said.
Yeah. Tiger is here. Not here with us. That would be awkward.
He's not our fourth interview.
No, that would be utterly amazing, but that will never happen. So, Tiger and Phil taking place Friday. By the time you hear this, it will have already happened. So...
We'll talk about it some more next week.
Those are just the breaks. We'll talk about it next week. Hopefully, it'll be something really cool for us to talk about. So, with that in mind, wanted to say thank you to our guests, Ryan Toscano. It was the Ryan Show. Ryan Toscano, Ryan Slijewski, as well as Dave Schmidt, the coach of the Bedford Bulldog, 10U State Champs, Regional Champs. And thank you to everybody here at the station, Harry Kozlowski, for stitching this show together. Chris Gentry, Colleen Richardson, and Bill Jennings, as always, for their hard work, making sure that we're able to be on the air. To everybody out there, happy Thanksgiving if you're listening beforehand. If not, happy leftovers, and hope that you certainly have a lot to be thankful for. We will catch you not next week, but the week after. You're listening to Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1.